Everything. Welcome to the show. Welcome to National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. RepublicBroadcasting.org. That is the network that brings you the information. NationalBugle.com. That is the website that sometimes brings you the interesting stories, not all the time. Why? Because I don't get paid $100,000 a year to do this. I do it in my spare time, out of the goodness of my heart. I say $100,000. I just came across a tweet by a professor, a tenured professor at Fresno. What is it? University of California, Fresno State, California University. It's a Fresno State University in the one of the two California state university systems. A Rhonda, oh, what is her last name? Something Arabic. Let's see. I will go to nationalbugle.com and I will find out. Her name is Rhonda Girard. And if you want to look at her, she's, I don't like to go into people's appearances, but I am going to say she's a fat, ugly lady, very foul-mouthed. I think lady is kind of a stretch. I have some choice quotes from her. If you go to nationalbugle.com, immigration demographics. I'm not going to read the quotes because I'm not foul-mouthed, but I came across one of her tweets where somebody was... She's the professor who celebrated Barbara Bush's death. And I'm not a Barbara Bush fan. But, you know, to have this... And if there are people who celebrate other people's deaths. I'm not one of them. You know, I think it's kind of a human thing, even people I don't like. Yeah, you don't dance on somebody else's grave. As far as I'm concerned, a lot of etiquette's been thrown out the window. But she's made all... She has... I'm going to read one quote from her. Spencer... Talking about Richard Spencer. Spencer's home is still standing. People need to effing throw grenades at it. I don't give a F. I'm buying guns. I'm an American. I'm buying guns. I'm not going to go on because it just gets too obscene for me to go on. It's gross. But her tweet, somebody was saying, you know, you're going to get in trouble for that. And she says, look, I'm a tenured professor. They can't fire me. I'm going to sit here and get $100,000 a year, and people are going to want to read what I say, and you're one of them. Okay, so that's her. And of course, we have another... Well, we had the bike lock professor. I don't remember what his name was. He was some Antifa. And where was he? Was he from Berkeley? I can't remember. But he was notorious for dressing up as an Antifa, going to Richard Spencer or other rallies with a giant bicycle lock and smashing people with a bike lock. Of course, you have Dwayne Dixon at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, which is one of the premier public schools in the country. And he is the leader of an Antifa group known as Redneck Revolt. And they were occupying what used to be called Jefferson Park. It's a couple blocks away from Lee Park. It's a couple blocks north of the site on 4th and Water Street where James Fields had his fatal auto accident. And it was an accident. He was fleeing in horror, in terror. Why was he terrorized? Because two blocks up the street, as he was passing Jefferson Park, at least according to the words of Dwayne Dixon, who that day was armed with a AR-15 semi-automatic rifle. There's lots of photographic evidence, including evidence that Dwayne Dixon himself has provided. Dwayne Dixon has stated publicly that he raised and pointed his rifle at James Fields' car. James Fields subsequently drove south a couple blocks. I'm not sure if it was immediately thereafter or there if there was a few minutes in between, but James Fields was freaked out. And in an attempt to flee after obviously having had his car once again struck by a protester, wound up driving into a crowd. That's not really what I want to talk about. I wanted to talk about this Dwayne Dixon. I mean, he can be Antifa. He can. There's lots of video of him armed, making speeches at these rallies, and he's a very violent person. You have these people, and then in addition to them, you have people who haven't engaged in violence, but are clearly, you know, you got these. This one professor who's not nearly as obnoxious as these people, but he's from the University of Maryland. I can't remember his name. He's always on Tucker's show. He's a young black man. Really has never had anything interesting to say. How is it that these people are getting these tenured positions at major public universities? I'm sure they're getting them at private universities as well. How are these people who... And you know... Do they have anything intellectual to contribute? I mean, I've never taken their classes, but from what I can tell, they don't really have anything intellectual to contribute. They got their positions because of political views or because of affirmative action. And we know that at Harvard and Yale and all these other schools, George Washington University or... You go down the line, the elite schools, we know there is massive, massive anti-white discrimination, anti-non-Jewish white discrimination. These people, you know, it's not just that you have one individual who gets a job they don't deserve. You have this massive cadre of professional political revolutionaries. Professional being paid in these cases by the taxpayers. In other cases, they're paid by, say, Jewish media conglomerates as journalists. There, you have this massive, massive cadre of people who can be professional activists, professional propagandists. Meanwhile, we're completely repressed. The idea that America is a democracy or that we're some sort of free society, that there's freedom, the idea that we're politically any freer than the Soviets were in the 70s, the 60s, 70s, and 80s is absolutely laughable. Now, economically, you could make the case we're freer because we don't have central planning. But politically, I think you can make the case that we're far more repressed, if for no other reason, than the Soviet Union did not have the means of surveillance and the means, some of the means of repression. I mean, they certainly did not have the means of surveillance. How were you surveilled in the Soviet Union? By somebody actually watching you. But now, with you know, the internet, with Facebook and Google, with all of their you know, whether or not they're actively supplying information to the NSA, and I think it's pretty clear that they are they supplying it to the Mossad? They're certainly keeping it. They're certainly using it. They're certainly using it against us. You've got all sorts of. Video, like in the days of the Soviet Union, you would have had very, very scant use of video surveillance because the technology wasn't there and it was expensive. And now it's so cheap. And it's everywhere. You have facial recognition technology now. You have so many means of tracking and following people. And of course, we see the results of it. We see the deplatforming of people who object to what the United States is becoming, are deplatforming. And, of course, what are people objecting to? Lots of people are objecting to the wars, which seem to be fought not for American interests, but clearly for Israeli interests. You see anybody who's upset at the demographic transformation, we are repressed. There is an ongoing conscious effort to import a massive population into the United States in order to dilute and replace the existing population. Now, if you were to understand the United States as we do, as an occupied country, you know, ZOG, the Zionist Occupied Government, if you were to understand it as an occupied country, under international law, under United Nations conventions, the transfer of a civilian population into an occupied country is a war crime. So, you know, when we talk about war crimes, when we talk about, well, also under the United Nations Convention on the Prevention of Genocide, promotion of or repression of the means of people to reproduce is also considered genocide. I think it's a harder case to make, but it is a case that can be made. And Andrew Hitchcock came on and made that case on my show a couple months ago. I think there, by a variety of means, by a variety of methods, our ability to reproduce is being repressed. All sorts of ways. The promotion of homosexuality, for one, and when we talk about the promotion of transgenderism, where people are actually undergoing hormonal or surgical procedures, which will permanently render them sterile, unable to reproduce, but all sorts of other means. You can make that case. But the ZOG case, if you understand this as an occupied government, that this is a war crime, that it is completely illegal to transfer a civilian population into our country. The people of the United States, the existing people, never favored the 1965 Immigration Act. We never favored these things. These were inflicted on us, and they were inflicted on us because of, they were able to get away with it because of the control of the media. I will be taking calls. I forgot to give out the number, 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. Really, what I'm getting at is that our situation in the United States is untenable. It is unsustainable. There is this massive cognitive dissonance that's going on. We've been, especially white patriotic people, have been brought up to think of the United States as being, you know, the land of the free and the home of the brave, being patriotic. Over the past maybe dozen years, maybe since 9/11 is probably when it really started among patriotic people, people who thought of themselves as patriots. Those people who were probably the most blindly supportive of the government are now realizing that they themselves are the biggest targets of the government, that our government doesn't represent our interests, that our government, and when I say our government, really, I mean our elite, our ruling elite, which controls the government, that our ruling elite really, they see their interests as diametrically opposed to the interests of the majority of Americans. And I've been on David Duke's show for the past 6 years, and people who've heard me on David Duke's show know that in terms of white nationalism, I'm a latecomer. And I've mentioned before that it's not so much I have my heart in this, in terms of white nationalism, but I see a very paranoid and delusional Jewish elite, an a Jewish elite and a paranoid and delusional Jewish rank and file as well, but the elite leads them, that has always considered itself separate and distinct from the people, the non-Jews that they live amongst, and have had adversarial and often predatorial or parasitic relations with their host populations, and have never completely lack the, I guess, self-awareness to realize that the backlashes that they periodically face are based in something rational, are based in the experiences and the legitimate grievances of the people that they dwell amongst. And so they have this Jewish elite has this paranoia, and they've gripped this country, and they're gripping the world. And I have my zombie corpse theory of Jewish power, that the this Jewish elite is riding the zombie corpse of the white nations to world domination. If you are concerned about the entire world, let alone white people, but the entire world, if you were a Chinese person, you should be very, very alarmed at the ability of this paranoid Jewish elite to gain control of the military, political, economic assets, technological assets that have been amassed by the European people over the centuries, that this paranoid Jewish elite gains control of these assets. They have gained control of these assets to a large extent. There are still restrictions on them yielding these assets the way that wielding these assets the way they would like to, but they are increasingly gaining control of these assets. And if you were Chinese, or you were Indian, or Indonesian, or Bolivian, or Nigerian, you should be alarmed, because these assets, what I call the zombie corpse of the white nations, are being ridden by this Jewish elite towards world domination. And the Jewish elite you can see this in their own writings. It's very clear. They are paranoid. They see kind of a zero-sum game, everybody against them. And they're willing to make temporary allies. And right now in the United States, they're trying to make allies with various non-white minorities in Europe. Even make allies with the very Muslims who probably harbor the most anti-Jewish sentiments of any peoples on earth. Yet, as far as the Jews are concerned, their battle now is with Europeans. It's with whites and Europeans. And so they're willing to, this European Jewish elite, this Jewish elite in Europe is more than willing to import massive numbers of Muslims into Europe, because this is a way of permanently overthrowing the European societies, transforming them into non-European societies once they can rule over. I will be back after the break with more of National Bugle Radio.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, We need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction. Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. May 5th is the last day you will hear this offer on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Know that we're being heard properly. It's Patrick Slattery with National Bugle Radio. Just to finish up with what I was saying, I'm not calling for any kind of violence against anybody. And, you know, the Jewish elite didn't take control of this society primarily through violence. They took control of it through narrative manipulation. And I think that's how we get control of it, is by standing up and speaking honestly. Dan from Washington. Dan, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for taking the call.
Thanks for calling, Dan. What's on your mind today?
Well, this Jewish power structure, I know we don't want to get into too much religion, but I've come to the conclusion that Christianity is basically the reason that allows Jews to take power. And I think you and Jeremy had a great show a couple months ago where Jeremy was talking about, you know, the dispensational movement and the Schofield Bible, and basically the Zionist Christianity has taken over American Christianity. And I came to the...
of it for sure, big parts, and arguably the majority of it.
Yeah, I think, and if you look at the Christian radio or talk shows or Christian channels, it's probably 98% of it. And I came to the exact same conclusions when I was looking into this. And then I'd recommend a book for Jeremy called Thomas Paine, The Age of Reason. Because I think a lot of the founders of America were deists. They weren't really hardcore Christians. And he talks a lot about, he picks apart the Bible, basically, it doesn't make sense. And then he even mentions in there this notion that Jews are the chosen people, the sickest form of Christianity. There's some passage like that in that book. So it goes before, even before the dispensational movement, this stuff has been going on. And then Don Adbo talks about the court Jews. I started researching medieval kind of kingdoms, and you have this court Jew system. And Don Adbo would be a great guest as well, because he's done a lot of research on how peasants were treated, you know, when the king in the Middle Ages with Jews, where Jews were basically given total power over the peasantry when the king would kind of invite in the moneylenders and to collect taxes and things. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what some of these mythologies, like Lord of the Rings, that, you know, the character of Smiley Wormtongue, or I think that's his name. You know,
I don't know the Lord of the Rings, but that's a funny name.
Yeah, it's the guy that's the king, and then there's the guy that's whispering in the king's ear over the kingdom.
Yeah, Mark Collette mentioned him in our debate with Halsey English. It kind of went over my head. Here's the thing with Christianity. It's, in the United States, it's not just the Christian Zionists who are kind of like Zionist-occupied territory. You also have much of the, you know, the progressive, the liberal mainstream Protestant churches, and, you know, if, for instance, at Charlottesville, you had these people with these clerics out there in their robes, but kind of with rainbow adornments to their robes and wearing Black Lives Matter pins, and that's also big. So it's not just the Christian Zionists.
You kind of have the Christian, I guess you could say Christian communist is the other wing of that.
Yeah, that's actually, that's a good term for it. Christian
Marxist.
But,
sorry,
I want to engage you on this. We do have 2,000 years of Christian heritage, and like it or not, whether it's a benefit or it's not a benefit, it's a fact. We have it. And, you know, so how best to deal with it? And, you know, one other thing I'd like to propose is somebody who is very interested in evolution. I am convinced that humans have evolved to be religious, and that I think, at least in much of our history, that religiosity, the ability to be religious, belief in God, has probably been an example of fitness. It's probably helped increased our ability to reproduce and survive. Leave aside whether it's true or not.
And I'm not saying I'm not religious. I just I believe there's some. Sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry to interrupt, and I want you to stay on until after the break if you can. But religious, but I do think it's very natural, and it's part of our heritage. So what do we do about it? And I'd like you to stay on if you have time and hash out what do we do about it? Can you stay on until after the break?
That'd be great. Thanks. Yeah, I will.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to aroutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Welcome back to the show, National Bugle Radio, with Patrick Slattery and Dan from Washington, and we're having a discussion on religion, and we have, you know, I was making the case that religion historically has probably been a source of strength for societies. I think often it's a source of strength for individuals, sometimes it's not. I don't know on balance how it is. But with Christianity, I mean, it does have 2,000 years of history, and is it a coincidence that the people who invented the modern world and more or less created the modern world and at one point had conquered pretty much all of the world were Christians, and yet Christianity does seem to have this in-baked vulnerability that's exploited by the Jews, and that is elevating the Old Testament to, you know, canon status, that it is a holy scripture of Christianity. So how do we deal with this, and how do we deal with the potential for strife within the people who are trying to save our country and save, you know, the white people, and really save the world? How do we prevent the infighting amongst each other so that we can concentrate on what's really important? So that's my question to you, Dan.
Yeah, and I think it's more of a philosophical question. I think most of us agree on, say, stopping immigration and promoting the family. You know, so I'm just bringing this up it's not to divide us, but just to talk about it as far as in the long run. I think Christianity has been effective in the past at ejecting Jewish power in certain cases, like the Martin Luther when you read Martin Luther's The Jews and Their Lies. So I look at that, and then I'm like, well, how is it that 100 years later, after Martin Luther has this big thing, Germany's ran by Jewish bankers, like the Warburgs and stuff. And I think it's always, Jews don't really want Christians to like them, because Jews would rather just kick back and run the money system. So Christianity, 2,000 years of Christian history, I'm wondering, a lot of Europe wasn't even Christianized till after the year 1000.
Mm-hmm.
And you had civilizations, and who knows if Christianity never happened, the Romans or the Celts might, or Vikings might have discovered the New World,
mm-hmm.
and done the exact same thing. You know, it's hard to say.
The Vikings had reached the New World. They didn't establish a permanent connection with it, but they did reach
right.
it. Was Eric the Red and Leif Erikson, were they Christians?
I am not sure. I don't know if.
I mean, Greenland did wind up being like recognized by the Vatican. There was like some very tenuous relationship there. There was, I guess, a bishop to somewhere who had Greenland as part of his jurisdiction, as part of his diocese, or what have you. So I think they probably were Christian by that point.
Yeah, they could have been, but I think the Vikings were going around before that as well.
Yeah, they certainly were.
I'm not sure.
They were very active before they were Christian.
Yeah, so it's hard to say what would happen, and you know, I'm just looking at it as far as Jewish power. The more I look back, Christians have really almost, you had Christian kings, but you've always had this, seems to be this Jewish power, because they run the money system, and Christians aren't allowed to lend money and interest. So as far as, it seems to be that way. I can't find a point in history when there wasn't this Jewish power. As far as, you know, after the fall of Rome and the fall of the Celtic Empire, then you had the rise of this Vatican, and then you had these court Jews that were moneylenders. So it's designed that way, with the Christians not being able to lend money, and the Jews, you know, basically, they don't care if everyone hates them. They just want to control the money system. And then they've developed tools to control the media. And I think a lot of Jews have pushed Christianity, because Christianity is it's what you tell the sheep, you know, if you want them to be docile.
Pushing a particular version of Christianity, or particular versions, and I think in the United States that would be two flavors. One would be this Christian Zionism, that's, you know, televangelical, and the other being this progressive rainbow flag, what's become of a lot of mainstream Protestantism.
Right.
And I guess they've subjugated the Catholic Church through this pedophile priest meme.
Right. Yeah, they've destroyed. Yeah, I've noticed that too. CNN is just, every time they mention the word Catholic, they mention child molester, you know, and that's really stuck, and it's hurt the Catholic Church. But I just look at these, even guys like Billy Graham, they just seem so weak and pathetic. I mean, we really have no leadership. And so I'm kind of disgusted with them personally. And I mean, my only hope, I guess, would be you could have a Lutheran revival and be quoting Martin Luther, kick out the Jews and their lies, and go the old school Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think that might work in America temporarily. But 100 years down the road, you're going to find yourself in the same boat, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, you have a lot of Christians. A theologian like Mark Dankoff, who's a friend of mine, who are extremely outspoken and articulate on the issue of Jewish power. And of course, you know, Jeremy, who calls into this show, he's involved in an Eastern Orthodox version of Christianity, which is becoming rather popular among a lot of our people. And we have a couple of callers who I'll be talking to after I'm done with you, who probably want to weigh in on this.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't want to take. Thanks for letting me talk. Right, that's just the conclusion I've come up with, and after studying, especially the medieval times with the court Jews and the money. And there's a movie called Zeitgeist. It's a kind of in astrological terms, we're at the end of an age, and Jesus, you know, every age is about 2,000 years. So we're kind of in a predicament because I think we're outgrowing Christianity, you know, because I believe in God, but I'm not going to say my God is a Jew on a cross. To me, that's just, it's almost offensive, you know. So, but.
Well, thank
anyway,
you. For
I'll let the other callers get in.
I appreciate it. Yeah, thanks. And I think this is an important topic, and I don't want to get into it with rancor. I make my own. I mean, I say I'm not religious, and that's not because I have any ill will towards religion. It's because I'm just trying not to be a liar. I don't want to pretend I'm something I'm not. And if religion is about faith, you either feel it or you don't. And by lying about it, that doesn't help anybody. So I'm just trying to be honest. Let's bring on Richard from Alabama. Richard, welcome to the show. Are you there, Richard?
I think I am.
Yeah, I think you are too. What did you want to talk about, Richard?
The learning disability program.
Okay, what's that? Is that what I was talking about with the universities at the beginning of the show?
No. This is about a Social Security program for learning disabled children. I believe it's $500 a month given to mom if her child is learning disabled.
Hmm.
And there's also extra nice programs for the schools if they can prove that there's lots of learning disabled children in the school system. And I heard a disturbing statistic. 1/5 of the school children in Alabama are on the learning disability money. 1 in 5.
Okay, now does this money, you're saying that there are payments that go to families? Is this something
mom,
I'm not aware of?
To the mothers.
To mothers.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and then separately, there could be additional funds for schools if they have a certain number of learning disabled children?
Well, there's more money, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I walk around the Walmart and the grocery store, I have to notice something, and that is the absence of white children.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I notice when I go by the school, the extreme shortage of white children, that white children are outnumbered by black children on the playground.
Mm-hmm.
Every playground I look at, it's blacks predominate. And at least half of the babies that white girls are having are half African.
Well, in some areas,
it's
fortunately like that all over the country yet, but that is the trend. That's certainly the trend.
And most of these children do qualify for the learning disability money.
Mm-hmm.
And they are honestly qualified. They're not cheating. And there's a scientific, biological reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know whether you want to talk about it or not.
We talk about all sorts of things on this show, so go right ahead.
You know, wolves and dogs and coyotes and foxes are considered by biologists to be different species, separate species. But they do breed together and make puppies together.
Can foxes? I know the other three can. I didn't know foxes could. But the other three certainly can. dogs, coyotes, and
but
wolves.
But they all breed together. They make puppies. But the hybrids are nowhere to be found except if they're kept as pets by some human that did it. Because they thought it would be just a cute experiment. But that puppy has to be kept all its life, taken care of. Because the minute that puppy is let go, weaned off, and pushed away by its mom, that puppy dies. You don't see a lot of hybrids of these different types of canines. You don't see them around. Because the thing that always goes wrong with them is in the brain. The rest of their body may be perfectly healthy, but their brains are such that they cannot function. And they always get in trouble. And they die. See, you don't see the hybrids of these animals around. And it isn't because they can't mix.
Yeah.
But this is bestiality. Huh? What I'm saying is this is bestiality, and God had a plan, and maybe his plan was to let us experiment with bad things and let us see the consequences of bad choices.
Well, I don't want to give you too much of a hard time. The dog coyote and the dog wolf, these mixes, they are actually, there's a lot of them. They're becoming more and more common in large parts of the country. I forgot what their term was. But these feral part coyote, I was in a vet's office not too long ago, and this weird-looking dog came in. It looked like a coyote, except it didn't have a coyote face. It had a more of a domestic face. And it was one of these dogs that had been caught, was being brought in by the animal control people to be checked. If you find the half white, half black child, they tend to be, in terms of, at least in terms of IQ tests, they are going to fall somewhere between on average, between the white average and the black average. They're not going to be, there may be certain other problems, but I don't think there's people who argue for hybrid strength. You seem to be arguing for a hybrid weakness. And I don't think that's the main issue, but I don't want to cut you off completely.
You have to look at the government. The government is much more likely to give the learning disability money to the mom if the mom is white and the baby is black.
Yeah, well,
in other words, the government is subsidizing something that is forbidden in the Bible.
Okay, I don't have the data on that. That would be, I mean, we have cases of the government, whether it's always intentional or whether it's not intentional, or whether it's intentional by some but not known of by the people who are actually doing the administration. We do have examples, something like that. And Mark Collette has raised the example of what in Britain is, for all intents and purposes, the British taxpayer, the British government, subsidizing polygamy among Muslims in Britain. And they do this. And so what you're suggesting is that through this program, which is a program I'm not aware of, so I really don't want to talk too much about it directly, but that there is a program for learning disability children, and that for one reason or another, it seems to be aimed disproportionately at white mothers with mixed race black children. That's what you're saying?
Yes. That's exactly what the welfare system and the school system and the court system is encouraging.
Mm. Yeah,
it's our money at work.
What Mark Collette talks about is because the second and third and often the first wives of these Muslim men in Britain, because they're not married under civil law, they're married under Islamic law. From the point of view of the British state, they are considered you know, children of unwed mother, they are unwed mothers, and so they get disproportional and additional benefits. Why would it be that, I mean, okay, well, anyway, this is something we can talk about in future shows. I have another call I'll be getting to in the next segment, but thank you for your call, Richard.
Okay.
Call back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have? Do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Welcome back to National Duke Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Patrick Slattery and Mark from Louisiana. Are you there? Mark from Louisiana?
Yes, good morning. Yes. How are you doing?
I'm fine, and yourself?
Real good. Thank you very much. I heard
you mention
the Old Testament, and it seemed to me like in a disparaging way. If that's the case, why would you have a problem with the Old Testament?
Yeah, I did seem to mention it in a disparaging way. Well, to me, that is the the soft underbelly of Christianity. And, you know,
but why?
Disagree with me, but that is the Jewish holy book, and
And it's also the Christian holy book as well.
It is a Christian holy book, but as a political scientist, I'm just saying that it is people's attachment to the Old Testament, which elevates the, you know, the Hebrews of antiquity. To
well, that's not true.
Status
that's
of
not God. True. Joseph. No, wait.
Okay.
That's not true. Okay. That
at
is
least,
not true.
Okay, I'm going to let you talk, but at least in the eyes of many, many people.
Okay.
Would you agree that in the eyes of many people it does? Even if it's not true.
Okay. I think I know what you're getting at. And that's because of the misinterpretation that you have. And don't feel bad about it. That's pretty much universal of
okay.
the Old Testament. But in the early Christian years, the Old Testament was accepted without worshiping the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were exposed. I'm talking about those people who called themselves Jews that were persecuting Christians. Now, this interpretation, this false interpretation that makes Jews to be like gods, it's a late interpretation of early years. Of lately. Because the Jews have infiltrated just about completely all of the churches, particularly the Catholic Church. The so-called Catholic Church is not even the Catholic Church. 99% of the people who claim to be Catholics, they have no idea what they're talking about. If they go to a 1950s catechism or even early 60s catechism, they have a total different set of beliefs that have no relation, you know, to what the true Catholic Church is all about. In the true Catholic Church, Jews are not considered gods. They're not considered worship. As a matter of fact, you know, or I hope you know, that the last pope, Pope Pius XII, who died in 1958, he did not recognize... The Catholic Church didn't recognize the state of Israel because it's a pirate, murderous state. And the Catholic Church could not do any such thing. Now, today, it's a different thing. A lot of people who consider themselves or call themselves Catholics, because they have no idea what Catholicism is all about, they worship Jews. And they go by this narrative, which is totally false. How many times have you
heard... We're running out of time, Mark. But I do want to say that I sincerely wish you the best of luck in spreading your interpretation of the Old Testament. And I'm not in a position to say whether or not it's the correct one, but I certainly hope it is. And I wish you the best of luck in doing what you're trying to do. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.